Hey, everybody. Welcome to GeekWire. It's GeekWire co-founder and editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
Well, it is the big day.
Finally happened.
Absolutely.
More than, what, 13 months?
Yeah, 14 that's
months?
Right. So Amazon announced its locations, plural, for Amazon HQ2 this morning. This was a huge surprise if you were just sort of teleporting from 3 weeks ago when there was no indication that Amazon would actually be putting two HQ2s, one in New York and one in Northern Virginia. But over the past week, this had been leaked quite a bit, so we'd seen reports to this effect. First off, John, big picture, what were your takeaways from the announcement this morning from Amazon?
Well, as you said, not a huge surprise that Arlington, Virginia, and Queens, New York were chosen. Those were widely reported, so not a huge surprise. The biggest surprise, I think, was that there was a third location chosen, not an HQ2 city, but a logistics hub that Amazon has chosen in Nashville, Tennessee. That, I think, caught a little bit everyone off guard on that one because Nashville really wasn't in the discussion at all. So it speaks to some of the reporting that we had on GeekWire with the urbanist Richard Florida. Monica Nicholsberg on our team interviewed him, and he was operating under this theory that Amazon was really going to do a multi-site operation here and that they were gathering all this data so that they can place multiple operations, whether it's a logistics hub in Nashville, maybe an AI, an autonomous vehicle center in Pittsburgh, HQ2 and maybe cloud heavy and government heavy in Arlington, New York, fashion, advertising. They're really doing a multi-pronged strategy, which is very different from what they originally talked about and promised. Although we should say they also said they may not do HQ2 at all.
Yes.
After all of this. So.
That's right. If you scrolled to the bottom of the original request for proposals from Amazon, they said basically, by the way, all of this may not actually happen.
Did you think that might occur?
No. It seemed to me like at the time basically a legal butt covering that was never going to be brought into the picture, but it really raises an
interesting
point.
They're willing to be misunderstood for very long periods of time.
That's right. So. That is the Amazon motto.
Yes.
Hey, if you are watching on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, we are monitoring those threads. And if you have comments or questions, we're happy to jump in and answer them to the extent that we can. We've been studying this all morning. We've also been covering this story for more than a year. So we have a few insights. And if we don't have answers to your questions, we can get to them. But John, what you said there really gets to the heart, I think, of what a lot of people are reacting to. And that is, this is not what HQ2 was supposed to be.
And at least how their RFP initially put it out there and how people interpreted it.
This was supposed to be.
HQT is a manifestation of what Amazon wants it to be, right?
Sure. I guess if you're going to get all existential on me.
That's right.
But this generated so much interest around the country, really around the world and the continent, because it was Amazon essentially creating an entirely new second headquarters. And if you take what's happened in Seattle and you put what's happened here someplace else, except hopefully better and not nearly as impactful on the community, that is a huge story. It drives huge interest. And this is not that. It is 25,000 jobs split among two communities with an extra 5,000 in Tennessee. To me, this is kind of a big bummer in a lot of ways, if you look at it journalistically. And not only is it a bummer because it's not actually a full, equal second headquarters, which is specifically what they promised, which was weird language at the time. It'll be full equal. It was a very kind of corporate phrase. I mean, it's fully equal if you go back to English class. But anyway.
They pivoted.
They pivoted. But I also think it's kind of a bummer, too. And again, I'm speaking purely from the story. You know, as a journalist looking at this, like the quality of the story. New York and D.C., who cares? Who cares?
I disagree.
These
with
are
this.
Two of the biggest, most prominent. It's the nation's capital in the most important city in the world.
So they didn't have.
They don't need Amazon.
So they didn't have to go through 14 months of this back and forth to pick Amazon. I do agree with that.
Come on.
But I disagree. I do think it's a great story because there is going to be a shift in power. And I just wrote a column about this, I think. And Amazon entering their next chapter, don't call it day two. You know, they'll get very upset
right.
if you call
it's
day
not,
two.
It's
not
always
day two.
One.
All the Amazon folks out there, we're not entering day two. It's the next chapter. And as part of that next chapter, I see signs of Amazon really positioning themselves in two major centers, one, D.C., which is a political epicenter.
Yes.
And the other, New York, which is a financial epicenter and a really a global city. And in that, I see them distancing themselves from their home base of Seattle. That's
yes.
why I said HQ2 is really Seattle.
Yeah, I get that. And
you just disagree. You're just like throwing.
I'm sorry. You've got 45,000 people in your original home. It's your headquarters. You've been here for 20 years, and suddenly you've put a branch office in D.C. and New York.
Just a branch
office. I mean, come on.
No,
that's all it is right
now. The nexus is going to shift.
Do you know how long it's going to take them to build up the operations
there? This is a 100-year plan.
Yeah.
This is a 100-year plan, and the nexus of power will be shifting out of Seattle to these new locations. I also predict that Jeff Bezos is going to be spending the majority of his time in these two new locations. And as such, you're going to see people gravitate towards Jeff Bezos. He is the true leader of this company. He is going to establish himself in these locations. He already has a $23 million mansion in the D.C. area and spending a lot of time there. So I think it's going to shift. And I think people in Seattle will have the opportunity now not just to choose one HQ2 city,
yes.
but three
yes.
cities. And so if you're from Nashville or D.C. area or New York and you've spent 3 years at Amazon in Seattle and you want to get back to your – and you're an engineer or developer, you want to get back to your home area, why wouldn't you go there?
I totally agree with that. I think that the creation of essentially – there's really four HQs here if you're talking about it. If you want to be in a place where Amazon has a critical mass, a key nexus of operations, you've now got four choices basically. Nashville for the Operations Center of Excellence, which we can talk about and the implications there, D.C. and New York and Seattle. And that increases the chances that people who are here now will move away from Seattle, because if they're still holding true to this, but who the heck knows if they are. But when they originally announced this, the idea was that each Amazon employee and executive would have the option to move.
Doesn't this also come back to Amazon being pissed
at Seattle?
At Seattle. I mean, there's a part of me that just thinks that they are – I mean, Seattle and the political infrastructure here has not been too friendly to Amazon. And I think they're just done with this place. I've often said before, Amazon is partly to blame for the relationship here. It goes both ways. But – that said, I think they're kind of done with this place.
Yeah. By the way, if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, we are monitoring those comments. And Brett Webster, I agree with you. Yes, just a marketing stunt. I think they could have easily
–
and keep in mind, Amazon has engineering centers around the country,
yes.
around the world. Oh, keep going.
This is good. This is the –
These are more than
engineering centers. I mean, we're talking more than 25,000 people. If they would have said they're going to set up an operation in another city with 25,000 people, that'd be a massive story. Now they're doing it in two cities and a third with 5,000 people. This is a very big story. It's not just a marketing stunt, although this is a masterclass in PR and marketing and what they pulled off. You know, one of the things that caught my attention today, Todd,
yes.
I was floored, or I guess I felt a little bit bad for Google. Poor Google. Google comes out today, and I think they must be trying to get ahead of the news or something. And they say, hey, we're going to be in New York too. We're doubling our operation there from 7,000 to 14,000 employees. And I think the PR strategy was, hey, let's ride a little bit of the wave here with HQ2. But it does not work. Yeah, it does not work. It's just like – I don't know. It's just really interesting to see Google come out with that announcement today.
I want to call out something that I think is getting lost in the Amazon announcement, and it is this. The new locations will join Seattle as the company's three headquarters in North America. That was a very interesting qualifier at the end of that sentence. In North America.
Well,
why would you put those three words at the end of that sentence?
They've always
if
said
you
it
were
was going
not,
to be in North,
yeah,
North
yes,
America.
True, yes. But look at the phrasing of that sentence. If you were not going to be establishing a European headquarters, you would never put those three words at the end of it.
Of course they're going to be doing that.
Nope. I think there is going to be an HQ, whatever
Absolutely.
The heck number this is now, because
yeah.
they've completely screwed that up.
They're going to put Europe through the same
yes.
PR probably in about
exactly.
18 months.
Exactly. It's going to be – you know, all it's going to be France against the UK.
Yeah, instead of, it's going to be the World Cup. It's going to be the World Cup of HQ2.
Exactly, exactly. And the only thing that's holding them back right now is they've got to come up with something that rhymes. They've got to come up with the right brand name. I'm kidding. But I think that you were talking about, it was sort of a marketing PR strategy. The first thing you've got to have for a great marketing campaign is a great brand name, and they had it. And this was basically Jeff Bezos's mastermind in terms of the name HQ2, even though it means nothing now because it's not a second headquarters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I still think it's a bigger news event than what you're leading on to. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what operations they put into each of these locations. Are they specific to a
yes.
to an industry? Do you see a heavier focus on cloud and perhaps government lobbying, government relations in D.C.? They're already doing this in Nashville where it's going to be a logistics and supply logistics, supply chain. That's going to be the hub of that. And so what executives decide that they move to Nashville or D.C. or New York as a result of that. And I think that's going to be part of the transition of talent out of Seattle to these new places.
I think you're right. One of the questions that Monica Nicholsberg is asking back in Arlington, and by the way, GeekWire's Monica Nicholsberg has been on the ground in Arlington basically reporting this in advance. We got her out there before the announcement hit.
Glad we sent her out.
Yeah, exactly. Really great timing. So she arrived on Sunday. She's been getting some great color from the various people in the neighborhood, lots of interesting reactions. But one thing she told me this morning was that it was kind of a shoulder shrug from a lot of people. Whereas when we all spent time in Pittsburgh, for example, which would have been a more fascinating place for Amazon to put this long term, people there were thirsty for this thing. Whereas New York and DC, I think this is going to be kind of like, okay, another 25,000 people and on top of the millions in our region. I think that it's disappointing in multiple ways what Amazon – and to be clear,
yeah.
Amazon should do what's right for its business. Well, I'm looking at it from the quality of story
Pittsburgh
perspective.
Pittsburgh couldn't handle 25,000
That was the truth. That I
mean, when you really look at it, I mean, it would literally –
What are you talking about?
The place.
As you well know, that was a city that was ultimately built for 700,000 people, and they got down to 300,000.
That part is true. The bones are there, and I've talked about that and written about that. But really, I mean, that is just a massive amount of change. I think the D.C. area and New York are better equipped to handle. We better equipped that many folks that are coming in. Now, we've got great sources and great contacts in Pittsburgh, and one of our great friends, Mark Power at Carnegie Mellon, wrote to us and noted that, you know, they probably would have liked something along the lines of what Nashville got.
Yeah.
And I wrote back to him today and I said, did you see what Richard Florida said about the possibility that Pittsburgh still could be in the mix? There could still be these additional center. You have HQ 2, 3, 4, 5, however many. And then you have 8, 10, 12, 15 of centers of excellence. And Pittsburgh could be one of those with 5,000 employees. All of this equates to less going on in Seattle, though, in my opinion.
Yes. And I will say one thing. When you're talking about why Amazon is doing this, clearly the workforce, the availability of the talent is there. But if you read the news release and how they're basically positioning these places as transit hubs, I mean, that was clearly in the RFP and in reality. That is one thing from the RFP that actually became real. Transit, transportation, access to different
airports,
modes of mobility.
Airports, yeah. I mean,
in both these locations, they're just off the charts. And that is something that they don't have in Seattle. All right. We are going to take a quick break on the podcast. We will be right back with more of our analysis of Amazon HQ2. So what else struck you? Was it Nashville was the big surprise? Anything else that really struck you? Because we finally saw the incentives today.
Yes, yes. I think those we need to dig into a little bit more, but certainly these various regions plunked out a decent amount of change. I think you've got some of the stats there,
That's right.
Todd.
So essentially the performance-based direct incentives, which basically mean as Amazon creates jobs at a certain salary, certain wage, then these incentives kick in. From Long Island City in New York, they'll receive up to 1.5 $1.25 billion. So $1.5 billion in incentives. And if you think about that in the context of Amazon's business, you know, this is a company that pulls in multiple billion dollars in revenue every year. So, and actually that is a good question on the total incentives. That is essentially as they do that, as they build those jobs up, then they get that money.
Yeah, and as this leads into a story that Kurt Schlosser on our team is working on, I think just posted, which is the backlash that's happened as a result, because you're seeing a decent number of incentives that are coming out of the public coffers that are going to be used to support a billion, almost trillion-dollar company.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people—
Led by the richest man in the world.
Yeah, a lot of people object to that. And there are arguments by economists that these sorts of incentives actually do not work.
Right. And this
for
is
the
company.
The
Amazon's 2018 revenue was on the order of nearly $180 billion. So this is a company that's clearly got a lot of money. I'm trying to think that would be like, you know, it would not be a ton of money in the context of things. But if you look at what it means for the communities and what they could do with that money, I mean, Seattle was essentially arguing over much, much less with the head tax. And so the question is that money well spent by these communities?
Right. So somebody on Twitter and in the post that Kurt wrote said New York is going to pay on average $48,000 for each of the 25,000 jobs Amazon will create. It's a $1.5 billion direct subsidy of the company. I wonder what they think they'll get back in taxes over that period.
Yeah, absolutely. Frederick Thornton on Facebook Live says, their workforce is so distributed. Is it really a factor? I think the ploy was just to drive down the facilities cost for Amazon. They're really good at getting stuff, I'm paraphrasing, cheap. So, you know, if you think about it, and that was the contention from Richard Florida, the urbanist who's really been critical of the way that all these cities just basically offered up these incentives to Amazon. Amazon got so much intelligence throughout this process. I mean, it had 238 cities around North America respond to the request for proposals with detailed information about what they were willing to give up to get Amazon in their backyards. And you can bet that all of that information is being kept on file at Amazon for whenever they want to expand anywhere. And that is some highly competitive intelligence. That's very advantageous to Amazon to have that. Okay, so we are discussing Amazon's HQ2 search. I wish they would have picked someplace else from a story perspective.
Well, we really wanted them to go to Pittsburgh, right?
Right. Well, yeah. And for those of you who didn't follow us, we put
out— Who missed Geekwire HQ2 out there in the audience?
Yeah.
Did anyone miss Geekwire HQ2
We did
this February?
Our own HQ2 search in the spirit of Amazon's HQ2 and went to Pittsburgh for a month. We put out our own RFP, got 10 submissions from around the country from cities ranging from Raleigh, North Carolina to Sacramento, California. And we heard from Washington, D.C. as well. So we ended up going to Pittsburgh and it was a fascinating experience. We not only explored their tech scene, but we also evaluated what was going on with the prospects for HQ2 there and used it as a bit of a case study among one of the 20 finalists. And frankly, I think we followed through on our RFP better than Amazon followed through on theirs.
We said we'd bring
up to five jobs.
Up to five low to moderately paying jobs and up to $3,000 in food and beverages.
I think we just about did that. Although I think one of those nights that we went out to one of the places for food, I think we might have exceeded that budget on one of the nights.
So if you're interested in that coverage, go to geekwire.com/HQ2. That's all of our coverage of Pittsburgh.
That's right. So one last thing here, John, just because it is so unexpected and was not what people were thinking, is Nashville and what's going to happen there. This to me is interesting in part because Amazon has really gotten into logistics and the whole delivery infrastructure. They are not yet replacing UPS and FedEx, and they explicitly are saying they're not going to replace them, at least in the short term, but they are—
They're just a compliment.
They're just complimenting it.
Just like they were complimenting physical bookstores when they were starting out that process.
That's right. So,
right.
Right. They're not going to put the bookstores out of business.
Never.
They're just going to give people another option.
They're
not going to put a UPS and FedEx out of business. They're just going to, it's another option for Amazon. Dude, I'm glad you're getting this down, John. All right. So in Nashville, this will be in downtown along the Cumberland River. It's just north of the Gulch, if you know Nashville. They are going to be putting a facility. They're going to be spending just about $230 million, 1 million square feet, 5,000 full-time jobs. And this is a big deal and unexpected.
And the part – now this is where the incentives and how they played one off the other really comes into play. And I think probably Amazon had a good idea that they were going to go to D.C. and probably New York. They certainly knew they were going to be on the East Coast because they wanted to mine technical talent there. So they had to be on the East Coast, and they had a few facilities they were looking at there. And I think that was a no-brainer. In the case of Nashville, I think this is very interesting because there were three or four distribution hubs in the mix here. And so I'm wondering if all along they had this in mind, because you have Columbus, Ohio, which is a distribution hub.
You mean like a major transportation hub?
Transportation hub, close to airports. You can move goods very quickly around. There's talent related to, you know, expertise in this type of work. So you've got Nashville, Columbus, Indianapolis. And so I think they probably did play those three cities off. So if there are any losers in this whole thing, if you wanted a piece of this whole spectacle, Indianapolis and Columbus, Ohio lost.
Well, what about Chicago and Denver?
And Chicago and Denver would also be in that mix as well.
Yeah.
But I think they did want to be closer to the population center and more Midwest, East Coast. So I think Denver, and even the governor said at one point, governor of Colorado, I think, said at one point, I don't think they're going to come here. Why wouldn't they want to be on the East Coast? So I think Denver, LA were kind of non-starters.
So here's my other question, and this is something to dig into financially. But Amazon in Long Island City, for creating 25,000 jobs, is getting $1.5 billion. Amazon in Arlington, Virginia, for creating 25,000 jobs, is getting about $573 million. So just about a third of what they're getting in New York City. Now, I have a hunch that the types of incentives are different. In fact, the $573 million includes a cash grant from the Commonwealth of Virginia of up to $550 million. So cash obviously put at a higher premium for Amazon than tax credits, and that is the majority of the New York program.
Yeah, and these incentives are interesting, and it plays to those 238 cities that put in proposals, because now if you do see this centers of excellence concept that they're rolling out.
Yeah.
So now you have L.A., and you have L.A. that was one of the 20 cities that was in the mix here, obviously an entertainment hub.
Yep.
But you also have Vancouver, BC, which is another entertainment hub. What – I mean, are they going to potentially – for their next center of excellence as it relates to the entertainment industry, where are they going to put that, and how do they leverage one against the other to decide what benefits they're going to get? And so I don't think this whole madness is stopping.
No.
As we've talked about here.
And I think it is going across the pond next. I am reading – maybe I'm reading the tea leaves too much, but I don't think you put that in North America phrase in there if you're about to
– So Todd, should people buy a home in Nashville and Crystal City and Queens?
You know, it's funny. That is another very fascinating point. We've seen already over the past 6 months in Seattle, the real estate market has turned, and one of the key – data points that Redfin reported today is that there's been a spike in home inquiries.
The chart's amazing on Matt Levy's story. Yeah.
It is really clear that obviously real estate is based on, just like any other market, sentiment and expectations. And clearly, even though the folks haven't moved there yet, there is lots of interest in real estate in Crystal City and Long Island City.
So Redfin said search traffic from November 1st through 11th rose 1,049% for homes in Long Island City and 217% for Crystal City.
Yeah, so clearly people are both speculating, and I have a hunch that there are some Amazon employees who were thinking, okay, gosh, we better start – if we're going to do this, we better start looking. And obviously then I think there's folks who are just like, oh my gosh. And that is one thing that Monica heard from some agents in Arlington, Virginia, which is home to Crystal City, is this whole notion that people were on the fence, maybe in the market already, and realized, oh man, if I don't buy now, it's going to be a totally different market by the time that Amazon actually makes the announcement. So, all right, let's go back to the YouTube and Facebook Live comments.
Steve Murch is listening in. Hello, Steve. How are you? Looks like he's got some comments on the political side. He said it'll be interesting to watch the competition between Shama Sawant and Ocasio-Cortez, who will be jockeying for being the most publicly anti-Amazon and Bezos, and who each have corporate boogeymen located in their home districts. So this has been an ongoing battle where we have Shama Sawant, of course, who's a socialist city council member here in the Seattle area, who has really attacked Amazon in a major way and is, I think it is fair to say, is anti-Amazon.
That's a great story idea.
I think Steve. Kurt Schlosser on our team was already on the case on this one, but thanks for reinforcing it, Steve.
Yes, and especially because we just had the midterms where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez basically she was elected. She's now a representative-elect, and wow, that is fascinating. Is the district the same?
We need to look into
this. That's an important question. If you are just joining us, we are recapping and analyzing Amazon's HQ2 announcement today. All of our coverage is on GeekWire. Just go to the geekwire.com homepage and look for the special coverage module. Big picture here, who are the winners, John? Is Amazon the people who were on the list of 20 who didn't make it in? Who are the winners? Are they the actual winners?
I don't know. I mean, we've written columns about that. Are they truly winning here? I think it does come down in Monica Nicholsberg's story, the main piece that we did today. She had some reaction from some folks. She was out at a Mexican restaurant and coffee shops and talking to various people. And there was one quote from one of the folks that she met who was just talking about, it is a win if Amazon's going to invest in the community, in the infrastructure, in the educational system, and be a real participant in the communities. And frankly, this is something we just haven't seen in Seattle. I mean, Amazon has been an absent corporate player largely up until the last couple of years. And I think that's why there's a lot of bad blood between the city, between residents of the city, and this booming company that's growing. And I think that's going to be a really interesting story for us to watch. Is this truly the second chapter, not day two, that they are turning over a new leaf in terms of how they're going to operate within these communities? And I don't know. I mean, I really don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. I think the tell, if there was one, was when one of the Amazon economic development executives kind of berated publicly on Twitter, whoever in Crystal City was.
But do you think he really represented the? I don't know.
It seemed antagonistic, and I recognize that obviously the rollout was not going as he had hoped. But to do that publicly to me seemed less than savvy.
Well, yeah, and very out of character for Amazon. And that's why I thought it was of a bit of an outlier. So I wouldn't read too much into that one comment in terms of the overall strategy of Amazon and how it's going into these communities. That said, I mean, historically, if you look at their time in Seattle, they've largely looked at their contribution to the community through the jobs they've brought in and the taxes that come along with that without some of the other additive things that people were talking about when we were on the streets in Crystal City in terms of getting them engaged.
I will say this. One thing is certain. Amazon will engage constructively with these communities and positively to the extent that Amazon determines it benefits Amazon.
Well, that's true.
And no more. I think that is one constant that is almost as constant as the leadership principles at Amazon, is that Amazon, yes, they put the customer first. And as a result, everyone else ends up being last. But ultimately, they are working in their own self-interest. And obviously, that is the way companies work. That's the way organizations work. But I don't think there's any altruism here. I think that there is calculated strategy.
Which a lot of people were hoping for, I think, with Amazon, and especially if not to go down the political rat hole too much, but I think you were seeing people who were saying, gosh, could they go into a place like Miami and Florida or Austin or Dallas, and somehow these new jobs and new tech workers would switch the political narrative in places like that.
Right.
And I always thought that was a bit far-fetched because I just don't think they're I don't think the company thinks that way.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting to watch to see which Amazon emerges here.
That's right. I think the draft headline on the story that we were working on this morning in anticipation of the news breaking said that the HQ2 project ends. And I said, wait a second. We were chatting about it behind the scenes. And I said, HQ2 search might be over, but the project is just beginning. And this is going to be a story that unfolds over the next few decades.
Yeah. And as I said in a previous column, I think I called it HQ2 heartbreak, where I was talking about the other cities, whether it was Austin or Atlanta, that didn't win this prize. There are two theories about Amazon, and it's really hard to figure out which one exists and which is the true Amazon. And the truth was probably between the two. But one is that they are this crazy entrepreneurial company that is growing by leaps and bounds, outpacing everything. The amount of entrepreneurial energy within that company as it's grown over 600,000 employees is insane. It's crazy. I can't believe that it continues at times, but it does, and they're expanding into all these new things. So, and that they've just grown so quickly and so fast that they could never anticipate the impact that they would have on Seattle. The secondary theory is that they found a great location in Seattle that was kind of a hideout from the rest of the tech world, where they could do their business, and they mined the city for as long and hard as they could, just like a good oil prospector would mine that well for as much as it could, and the well started to go dry, and they said, time for HQ2.
Nice. Yeah.
And so it's someplace. Those are two very strong theories about Amazon, and that's how mysterious this company is. I think there's probably something between the two. That's maybe where they are. But I could be convinced on either of those theories.
We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back talking with Monica Nicholsberg, GeekWire's civic innovation editor, who is in Arlington, Virginia, reporting from the new Amazon HQ2. You're listening to GeekWire, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to GeekWire. I'm on the line with Monica Nicholsberg, GeekWire's civic innovation editor. She is on the scene in Arlington, Virginia, where Amazon today announced that it's going to be bringing at least half of HQ2. How's it going, Monica?
It's going well. Crazy couple of days.
Yeah, no kidding. So let's tell the story here. We anticipated that this would be coming this week, and we actually sent you to Virginia on Sunday?
It was just Sunday. It feels like a year has passed since then.
So what have you seen there so far? What have you experienced? Tell us about the locals and what's happening there on the ground in Crystal City, Virginia.
Sure. So the first thing that I noticed when I arrived here was a really interesting piece of street art. Along a couple of different blocks, there were these big black and white painted walls with sort of a modern design, and hanging on them were these brightly colored bicycles. And I was really curious about them, so I did a little bit of digging and learned that they were put up by a real estate developer named JBG Smith, which is the top real estate developer in this neighborhood. They own 44% of the buildings, and they happen to be the developer that at the time was rumored to be partnering with Amazon. Now, fast forward to today, when this afternoon there was a big press conference with a lot of big government officials, the governor of Virginia, Senator Mark Warner, lots of other folks, and it was actually held in a warehouse behind this street art that initially caught my attention. So it was almost like this kind of wink, hint, something big is coming, and then it ended up being Amazon. So that was the first thing I noticed. But the other thing is that it really feels like this neighborhood is similar to what I imagine South Lake Union, Amazon's home neighborhood in Seattle, was once like. It's kind of sleepy, a lot of vacant office space, kind of low offices and hotels that seem like they were built in like the 1980s and are kind of waiting to be transformed. So it's easy, having come from Seattle, to see what Amazon might do to this community.
So describe it in a little more detail. Are there lots of homes there in that neighborhood? Like, as you picture Amazon moving in, what are they going to be moving into?
No, there are a lot of vacant apartment buildings. And I should mention, it's not just this Crystal City neighborhood where I'm staying, but that's going to be part of a new community that is being formed by several different jurisdictions in the Northern Virginia region called National Landing. It's a neighborhood that was invented today, invented for Amazon, and it includes Crystal City, parts of Alexandria, Virginia, and parts of Potomac Yard. So it's a collection of neighborhoods just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., and not a lot of residential homes in the traditional sense, but I think a lot of things are going to be torn down and rebuilt in Amazon's image.
Did I hear you correctly, Monica? They created a new neighborhood for Amazon?
They sure did. It's called National Landing. A lot of longtime D.C. residents were confused to learn that that's where Amazon was going because they had never heard of such a place. It is new.
So does it essentially cross the borders of multiple existing neighborhoods? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Parts of Crystal City, Pentagon City, and Potomac Yard.
Got it. Okay. I understand. So they basically wanted to say, hey, Amazon is in National Landing and not Northern Virginia or something like that. They wanted it to have an identity?
Yeah, I think so. It's a little confusing because Arlington County is not a city. It doesn't have incorporated cities. And I think they just wanted something snappier and, yeah, more cohesive.
Interesting. Okay. So you've also been talking with a lot of people there in Northern Virginia where Amazon will be putting 25,000 jobs. And you're bringing an interesting perspective because you've seen what's happened in Seattle where Amazon has about 45,000 jobs in the downtown core and surrounding areas. What have those conversations been like and how much have you been asking questions and how much have they been asking questions and sort of what's the gist of that been?
It's been really interesting. You know, when you spend so much time super zoomed in on something and you assume everybody else is kind of in that space too. And then you bring it up and they're like, oh yeah, I've kind of heard about that, but clearly haven't given it quite as much thought as you. That is generally how it's gone. I think most people have heard Amazon plan to come here and had some concerns. The main one is traffic because traffic in the DC area is pretty bad. But most people said, I think that would probably be good. I think, you know, job creation is a good thing, but just hadn't really given it the kind of thought that we have after living Amazon growth in our backyard.
Yeah. And I was wondering, like, are they passionate about this? Because John and I were talking and clearly we all spent time in Pittsburgh earlier this year. And I think people were very strong-willed about it one way or another. Either they were really excited about the possibility of getting Amazon or they really didn't want Amazon there. Do people there even care that much?
The everyday person off the street that I've talked to, it doesn't seem like they care that much. Now, I've talked to some people in real estate who are, I've heard the words elated, you know, that was like so excited about the prospect. And I've talked to people who think really deeply about government incentives and the kinds of deals that government enters into with business who are very concerned. But I would say by and large, the average person hasn't given this a ton of thought.
Now, let's talk just a little bit more about National Landing, this new place, because one of the things that really struck me, I know you're mentioning that traffic is bad, but Amazon really stressed in its summary of this new place that it's created or that the region has created to house Amazon. There's 3 metro stations, commuter rail access. It's right near Reagan National Airport. It seems like, at least in terms of transportation writ large, it's in a much better place than Amazon's current headquarters here in Seattle.
It is very accessible. Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like many of the neighborhoods that are right around an airport where you've got a lot of chain hotels and kind of transient folks and really good public transportation, but not maybe as much neighborhood identity or booming cultural presence. I'm sure that will change with Amazon moving in, but it's very close to the airport. It's, you know, a 10 minute drive from Reagan National Airport. It's a 10 minute drive from DC and it's very accessible by multiple subway and bus lines.
Monica, you've been covering this since the beginning, the overall HQ2 search, and the whole idea originally was to put a $5 billion, 50,000 employee campus in one community, and that really sparked a lot of the groundswell of interest that we saw from across the continent, really, in landing this economic prize. And you could debate the value of that prize at such a large scale, but I'm curious, what are your overall takeaways now that HQ2 has finally been revealed? And it's not exactly what Amazon, it's not even close to what Amazon was talking about in terms of the distribution among these multiple cities.
I have really mixed feelings about it. I think that on the one hand, if we had been told from the beginning that Amazon planned to offer two 25,000 person offices and one 5,000 person tech hub, which is what they're doing in Nashville, that was all part of the announcement today. If we knew that from the beginning, we would not have spilled as much ink over the past year as we did. The thing that was really remarkable was the idea that they were going to do what they had done in Seattle somewhere else and the implications of that. And so I think as a reporter, there's a part of me that feels a little bamboozled. But as a person, I think that it makes sense. You know, watching what happened when Amazon scaled up to more than 45,000 employees in Seattle in less than a decade, and all of the really real dire consequences of that for a lot of folks, you know, housing prices skyrocketing, the traffic, the just overwhelmed infrastructure of a city that wasn't prepared for that kind of rapid growth. I do understand the impulse to mitigate it a little bit, to split it among a few different communities rather than just totally overwhelm a place.
Yeah, but is it really still a headquarters if you do that? I kind of understand what Mayor Durkin here in Seattle was saying. It feels more like a big branch office.
Well, that's a really interesting thing because that was my initial reaction too. But the way that Amazon is talking about it is they're still using the words headquarters very unabashedly. They're very like, these are headquarters. And it sounds like they probably will relocate some of their executive team, some of the C-suite. So I'm just really curious to see what happens. They don't plan to make these specialized offices. Like my initial thought was that the New York City office would be a fashion hub because that's where their fashion team is. And the DC office would be a lobbying and public policy hub because that's where their public policy team is. But they are planning to grow these offices just like Seattle, where the employees specialize in a lot of different areas and there are different teams working on a variety of projects. So I think where the executives choose to locate is going to be a big indicator going forward of whether these are offices on the same playing field as HQ1, just with fewer employees or not. But I think since Seattle is their original home and it's going to have twice as many employees as any of these other offices, it's hard to imagine that won't be Amazon's center of gravity.
Yeah. Are they saying yet where Jeff Bezos is going to go?
No, they're not saying.
How about some of the other high-level folks like Andy Jassy, the CEO of Amazon Web Services, or Jeff Wilkie, the CEO of Amazon's consumer business? No word there?
They're staying pretty mum on that. I think Jay Carney already lives in D.C., so there's that. And so does Brian Huseman, who is their head of public policy, who spoke at the event in Arlington today. But yeah, they're not saying yet. It's not clear. But Jeff Bezos does already have a mansion in D.C. and an apartment in New York City. So it's not like it would be a huge stretch to imagine him relocating.
Yeah, I can imagine some folks out there who just heard you say Jay Carney and just had flashbacks. Yes, the former White House press secretary now works for Amazon, in case you weren't aware.
That was probably confusing, huh?
Yeah, senior communications exec. I know. Well, it's sometimes I forget until you see him at the annual meeting or get an email or something like that. He's not the most visible of Amazon execs, but that said, not many Amazon execs, apart from Jeff Bezos, are all that visible. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see how this turns out and where different people go. So, Monica, final thoughts there from Arlington. You're on the scene. Anything that we should know that you're seeing that we wouldn't know not being there ourselves?
I think it's just a city that is very poised for transformation, or a neighborhood. What is it? National Landing, a new neighborhood. It feels like it doesn't have a very strong cultural identity, but I would be fascinated to come back here in 2-3 years and see how Amazon has transformed it. Now, what's going to be really interesting is tomorrow when I head to Queens, New York, the other side of Amazon HQ2, because that is a neighborhood with a very rich, complex history. And I think that the reaction there to Amazon moving into town is going to be very different.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear how the rest of your trip goes. Monica Nicholsberg, thanks very much for joining us on the line from Arlington, Virginia.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Safe travels. Thank you for listening to the GeekWire podcast. If you are not already, you should subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. Just search GeekWire, that's all one word, in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you like what we do, consider leaving us a rating and a review. It really helps other people find the show. You can see more of our coverage at geekwire.com. The GeekWire podcast is produced by Claire McGrain. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back talking with Monica Nicholsberg from GeekWire, who is on the ground.